possibly use the time to draw closer to Thee, do some things that we don't normally do. I pray that the leadership of this country is going to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. If it's good, praise the Lord. If it's evil, well, praise the Lord anyway. And either way, we can't do anything about it. And I just pray You'd help us to be faithful to Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Genesis 15. One of the fears, probably the greatest fear in the church or preaching or as far as preaching to folks is the fear of hitting the judgment and discover somebody who sat in these pews is not saved. That is one of the biggest fears that that we have who are really concerned for the souls of others. And often a person or a young person has gone through church and has grown up in church, and if they discover, if they admit to themselves, maybe I haven't really placed my faith in the Lord, and they tend to feel embarrassed because they didn't. Don't feel that way. Don't feel that. We'll be excited. We'll be excited. Okay, and so in Genesis 15, verse 6, is the very first time the word believe shows up in the Bible. And what does that mean? What does that mean? Believe. Genesis 15, 6. He, that's Abraham, believed in the Lord. And he, the Lord, counted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. Okay, if you read the context, Abraham's probably in his 70s, no children, and he was told by the Lord that he's going to have descendants as many as the stars of heaven. Okay, so that's verse 5. And Abraham said, I believe you. And if you read, delve into the Hebrew, the Lord said, you do? He said, yeah, I do. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you my righteousness. Okay, so that's the very first time the word believed is found in the Bible. Most people in church believe here. There's a difference from here to here. Now, the Bible says believe in your heart, but medical doctors will tell you your heart can't do that function. But people who have had heart transplants get a memory from the heart from the previous donor, from the donor. There have been heart transplants where this individual who got this new heart took on some of the characteristics of the donor because the heart does have a memory. And there's a couple books written on that. It's a fascinating idea. And they actually remembered some things in that donor's life that they didn't know nothing about. Okay, and that's what the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so, this is one of the great fears, okay, that a loved one or a friend believes here, but doesn't believe here. Okay, and now the wrong way to overcome that fear is the standard operating procedure. And the wrong way is to create outward evidences that you prove you're saved to the whoever has this list. Okay, the Arminians say you got to do this in order to prove that you're saved, in order to stay saved. The Calvinists say you have to do possibly a different list, but then that is verifying you have genuine salvation. Okay, so everybody's got a list. But Jesus said, when you're born of the Spirit, you're like the wind. So it's something between you and God. And the fundamentalists follow the exact same pattern, but it is better to doubt yourself than to doubt your Savior. Okay, and so I remember growing up, I got saved. I have no doubt in my mind when I got saved, 9 years old. I don't know what led up to it. I have no idea what led up to it. I have no idea who witnessed to me. No idea. I remember coming home from school on that school bus, ran up the driveway, the old farmhouse, ran up to my bedroom, got beside my bed all by myself, and trusted Jesus Christ. I didn't know if there was a hell. I wasn't even told about hell. I didn't know anything about repentance, didn't know anything about forgiveness, knew nothing about that. All I knew is I heard this about Jesus Christ, and I knew I needed him. And that's when I got saved. But as a teenager, you begin to wonder. So during the invitations in the Bible church, I'd trust the Lord again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Then I started thinking, you know how that flower, you love me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm saved, I'm not saved, I'm saved, I'm not saved. I wonder which one I'm on. I can't remember. Okay, and so, but I go back to that time at 9 years old, I know I got saved there. Okay, I didn't have assurance, but I know that's where I got saved. Okay, it's not what a person does that matter, it's who a person believes. It's not in the prayer. There might be a prayer involved, but it's not the prayer. Okay, many will question your personal sincerity. Remember that story about that dad in Mark chapter 9 where he was the kid was infested with devils. He was going into water and into fire. And Jesus said, if you believe, I can heal him. And he said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now that's honesty. That's honesty. Okay, and so... Now, it's nothing to do, obviously, with baptism, nothing to do with prayer, nothing to do with sincerity. Sincerity doesn't save. Okay? Jesus Christ saves. So the Lord Jesus Christ saves. So how does this work? Okay, right there at that light switch over there, there's power that goes to that switch, and right now the power is manifested by the light. Okay? And I can go hit that switch, and then it will go dark. The power is there. Okay, now that switch, we'll put the title for that switch, Believe. Okay, that's what it is. That switch is, in the Bible, belief is the switch. Okay, that's what triggers it. Okay, sometimes belief after the statement... Okay, if you would try John 2:22. Belief after the statement been made increases your belief before the statement, evidence of the statement is made. Okay, this is an example in John 2:22. John 2:22. Okay, how many times did Jesus tell the apostles, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to rise again, I'll meet you in Galilee? How many times did he say that to them and they didn't believe it? Okay, that's in psychology called cognitive dissonance. Okay, where it just doesn't register, and so then you got to give it time. In John 2:22 it says, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Okay, so when you find something in the Bible makes a statement, and you and I have an advantage of seeing the evidence of it. The Bible makes a statement, the evidence is made manifest, we see the evidence, we believe what it said. That will increase your faith in the statements the Bible says when it doesn't give the evidence. Okay, and that's where belief steps in. If you would try Mark chapter 7. Belief in the heart empowers both good and evil. Good and evil. I can read Jehovah Witness material. You can read Jehovah Witness material. You know, you can read Calvinist material is pretty draggy. So if you're having a tough time sleeping, I would suggest get Arthur Pink's books out or Stamm, and you'll go to sleep pretty quick. Okay, and I can read all that. I can read all this heresy. Okay, I can read all this stuff, but it doesn't affect me. When could it affect me? In Mark chapter 7, verse 18, he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entering into the man, it cannot defile him? See, I can read a watchtower and it won't defile me. I can read the Pearl of Great Price, the Doctrine and Covenants. I've taken Catholic Catholic study courses. I had 10 lessons. It had multiple choices. And then I sent it back to the Knights of Columbus and they graded it. If they didn't have the multiple choice that I liked, I added one. My highest grade was a C. Most of them I flunked because I didn't give the answer they wanted. Okay, why did I do that? Because I wanted to learn what they believe. I wasn't worried about it. Okay, so in verse 19 it says, because it entered not into his heart. I read what they said. I looked at the scriptures they gave. But it did not bear witness to my spirit that it was true. It did not go into my heart. And it says, but into the belly and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, and so forth and so on. Okay, so if I would say, read this material, and then in my spirit I thought, oh, maybe that makes sense. And then I actually start, that's when it defiles me. Because it came from my heart, because I believed it. Okay, belief is what triggers it. Okay, salvation. If you would, Acts chapter 8, 37. Salvation is, there's two basic ideas or concepts, I guess, we want to get across. Is that salvation, the salvation of your soul, is based upon your personal belief. Your belief is the trigger that hits the switch. Okay? Only you know it. So, when you put your head on a pillow tonight, make sure that's right with Jesus Christ. Acts 8:37, removed from the New Bibles, removed out of the New World Translation, removed from the ESV. They skip verse 37 in its entirety. Some of them put it down in a footnote. Some of them will italicize it, which casts great doubt on it. And in this storyline, the Ethiopian eunuch, he was a religious Jew. He was an Ethiopian by nature, by his nationality. And in Acts 8:35, Philip opened the scriptures and told him about Jesus Christ. Verse 36, he asked about getting water baptized because he probably heard of John the Baptist. And this next verse, okay, and this is if you're with somebody that's got an NIV, tell them this verse is a great blessing to you, and then when they can't find it, just smile. And then memorize the other places that are missing, and then they'll start asking questions. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Notice he didn't say must. The water dogs are out there. Thou mayest. You may. And here's what he said. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was it. That came from his heart. That's where he got saved. He didn't have to make that statement, but that's where he got saved. Okay, and if you would go to Romans chapter 10. It's not praying a prayer, okay? I'm not saying that if you did pray a prayer, you're not saved. God is reading the heart. You might have got saved before you prayed the prayer, because he's reading the heart. It's when you hit that light switch. Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, all the new Bibles change that verse. Whoever confesses Jesus as Lord, that's not a good confession, really. It's a satanic confession. Satan's going to confess that at the white throne. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, Ephesians 1. Okay, anybody that's bought a house kind of will know this procedure. Ephesians 1 gives it out pretty clear. Okay, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay, so if you look at all those afters and then put it in chronological order, okay? So first thing is you heard the truth about something. I don't know what it was that triggered your thought. I got a couple emails from somebody. What triggered their idea of salvation was the flat earth theory. That's what triggered it for them. Where they started studying it, accepted that idea, and then considered Jesus Christ and came to Jesus Christ. I got a couple emails with that one. Okay, you say, I don't believe in it. It doesn't matter. That's what triggered it for them. Okay, it might be another topic for you. Okay, and so the truth there, and then it leads to a specific truth. So you may talk about that truth that that person has an interest in, and then hopefully bring that to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the one that saves. Okay, so some truth, specifically the gospel of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and then that individual believed it. Like Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. When you believed it, that light switch triggered, power came through, and part of that power that came through in that verse says, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That came with it. That was like an add-on. The next verse says, it gives a title for the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. Okay, so if you buy a house, you put an offer. With the offer, you put earnest money. Sometimes they call it down payment, but you put the earnest money, and then you have a day of closing. Okay, so you got a day of closing. Now, between then and then, you're going to, did I put enough earnest money down? Did I do this? Did I make the right offer? Is he going to accept the offer? A lot of leeway in there. Okay, but the earnest money is your promise to complete the purchase on the day of closing. Okay, so the individual places her faith in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God comes in. He's the earnest. That's God's earnest money, where he's promised to complete the purchase. Now, your soul got redeemed then, but your body is falling apart. Yeah, my neck kind of get me last night. I got an elbow right in the face, so my neck's bothering me. Okay, and so your body needs to be redeemed. And that's God's business. I'm not doing it. I can't do it. Okay? The guys on TV can't do it. Kenny Copeland, when he goes, ooh, your virus, it's healed. You know, Corona. I got it right. I heard a guy today say Corolla on the news. He said Corolla. So not only did I have a hard time with the word, I thought, I wish I had recorded that. Okay, and so, no, Romans 8 says, I'm predestinated to be in the image of Jesus Christ. That's our destiny. That's the person's destiny who believed in Jesus Christ is to be like Jesus Christ someday. Now, you would do good if you worked on that with the Spirit until now, but if you don't, it's still going to be done. Because that's up to God. Once you believe that switch, okay, and that's where the power comes in. Okay, so that's salvation. But there's also, you take this another step to sanctification. Okay, if you would, look in John 5, verse 46. So this is a lot of times where believers, they think that, okay, I got saved by grace through faith, and then they think, okay, now I got to have all these rules in my life, and not against rules. You got to have rules, especially in game. Well, the only game that don't have rules probably is hockey, but except you can't hit them with the stick. Okay, and so you think you got to have these rules, and these rules are what makes our group spiritual. Maybe so, maybe not. It depends on your heart. Depends on the heart. John 5, verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? How many people read the Bible but don't get anything out of it? What's the problem? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. The little Mormon elders that look 20 years old will start with a King James Bible. How can he get so whacked out thinking that Jesus and the devil are brothers, and Jesus' sons were fair-skinned and the devil's brothers were dark-skinned? They don't say that much these days. You can have a hard time having a good basketball team if you preach that idea. But that's what they taught. That's in their doctrines. And ladies, to be a Mormon, oh, wouldn't this not really entice you to become a Mormon? Eternal morning sickness. Yeah, the men get to populate the planets, and the women have to bear all the children throughout eternity. Boy, isn't that wonderful? That's what Mormons teach. That's why the women, they'll have polygamy, and they got to do it a secret way nowadays. But how is it that all these people can read the Bible? How is it that these fundamental Baptists can read the same King James Bible, claim to believe it, but yet then they boil it down to about five statements, and they get nothing out of it? And then you show them something outside of the five statements, and their brain goes, I've never heard that before. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 tells you why. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. Many of the, if not most of the King James people say it's the best translation. By that statement, they're admitting they don't believe it to be the word of God. When they don't believe it to be the word of God, it will not work in them. Won't do it. Except for the selective verses that they do believe in. Okay, so it says, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So if they believe this passage, but they don't believe all the other, this passage can work in them. But the ones they don't believe in, it won't work in them. Just blow over their heads. Okay, Philippians 4, 6. How many times have I prayed, you prayed, where you had an issue in life, and it was a big deal on your plate, and you're asking God, why? I just want to understand. I want to understand why. And you're asking God, I want to understand, why is this taking place? And he don't answer the question. Philippians 4, 6, it says, be careful for nothing. Okay, full of care. Don't Christians kind of need that today with sort of watching the news all the time? Be careful for nothing. Okay, but he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So you make the request, but then the next verse says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. If he doesn't give you understanding of why this event's taking place, throw your request to heaven and say, okay, God, you got the request. I'm going to believe that passage. I'm going to wait for the peace. If you want to give me understanding, fine. If you don't, fine. Your peace will pass greater than my understanding. And it says, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, so there's the verse. How does that work in your life and my life? You say, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. When you say, but I believe it, Lord, hits the switch, and the Spirit of God will work in your life. And before you know it, the peace of God will come. And you just rest in that. That's how that works in the New Testament. We got to get out of the way and let Him go through us. And when we get out of the way, we say, okay, I believe you. You're right. I'm wrong. And like Paul said in Acts 27:25, okay, Paul's on a shipwreck, 276 passengers, a hurricane or a himicane, I think it was called a female, so it was a hurricane, was going to take the ship down. And the angel said, oh, no problem. You're going to lose the ship, but everybody's going to be saved. All 206 are going to survive this. And Paul gets in front of the crew and says, I believe God even as it was told me. Now, I remember hearing this illustration. I don't know the verification of it, but I'd heard about a plane that was going down, and amazingly, it stayed in the air longer. And I also heard that while it was staying in the air longer, somebody was allowed to get on the speaker system, and they gave the gospel to the passengers before it hit down. Okay, I don't remember which plane it was, but I remember somebody mentioning that. But still, the idea is, it's belief, but it's personal. Now, have you ever witnessed to somebody and they'll say, that's my business. That's personal. They're right, it is personal, but when they act like that, I don't think they believe it. Because Romans 10 says you'll not be ashamed. You'll not be ashamed. Okay, on that. So, bottom line is, each and every one of us personally believe. You know, the world can take our church away. They can take our hymn book away. Okay, let's back up. If you take the rosary away from a Catholic and their church, which they're going to be taken away from them, what happens to a Catholic's going to do in the next 2 weeks if they kick off? They won't die in a state of grace because they couldn't have been at the Mass for a while. If you take all their trinkets away, what do they got? They got nothing. If you take it all away from all the others, they got nothing. You can take my hymn book, you can take my Bible, you can take my church, but I got some of that book memorized, and I got some of them songs memorized. You can't take my Savior away from me. Okay, and so that's belief. Each and every one of us is that personal between you and God, between you and Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that each and every one of us in this room, in their own hearts, could make the statement, I agree, Jesus Christ is Savior, and He's mine. He's mine. I believe that. And I'm just praying, Lord, that every single one of us in this room can personally say to you, you are my Savior. Thank you. I believe in you. Maybe in the past, people thought I was saved, but in my gut, in my heart, I need to get that settled. I need to get that settled. And Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us would be assured of that. And your Spirit would bear witness with our spirit, we're a child of God. And heads bowed and eyes are closed, just Maybe people have thought you saved for years. It's between you and the Lord. You and God. I tell you, you know, if you're not and you want to make sure, believe in Jesus Christ. Don't be embarrassed about that. Oh, man, don't be embarrassed about that. People would be happy about that. So the piano will just play softly if you'd like to just spend some time in prayer. If you'd like to, if you are placing your faith in Jesus Christ to verify it in your heart, and you want to tell somebody about it, that's fine. We'll be happy to hear that. But bottom line, that's it. Between you and God, between you and the Lord. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you so much for all these folks that came out. Lord, I pray you'd give them an extra blessing for the efforts. And I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to you in this time. And by chance, if someone just made assurance of their salvation, they'd tell us about it. And we can rejoice in that fact. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I think.